we were kids, laughing at the things we did, working harder than we should, but though we knew work was good, made the most of every day, we altered our reality. You called us partners and best friends.
Corey Feldman, ladies and gentlemen, has had a 35-year career already. He's been in over 80 films, including, sit down for this, Stand By Me, Gremlins, Goonies, Lost Boys, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and 76 more. Do you want me to do all of them? I'll do all of them. He has a new album that breaks today, Angelic to the Core, and he joins us right now on the phone line. Hi, Corey. How are you?
Hey there. How you doing, man?
Fine.
So that was that song called Remember 222 is a tribute to the other Corey that you were very close with.
That's right, to my best friend and my partner in all those movies, Corey Haim. And the great thing about that song is, well, there's a couple cool things, but number one is that you actually have film clips from the movie, actually from several movies. So, you know, you get to actually hear Corey's voice on the track, which is really cool. And the other thing is that, you know, everybody expects a tribute song is going to be like, you know, depressing and, you know, tearjerker and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, I would like to do something that actually reminds people of what our movies was, you know, were about, which was having a good time. I mean, you know, it was, they were fun movies. They were adventure movies. Mostly they were comedies. So, you know, when people think back on those times, they don't want to remember the bad times. They don't want to remember, you know, the depressing stuff that happened later in his life. They want to remember, you know, the great moments that, you know, made everybody laugh. And those are the moments that I choose to remember, and, you know, and us having fun and running around on our bikes and all that stuff as kids. So that's really what the song is about.
How'd you meet him, Corey? What happened that brought you guys together?
Lost Boys, actually.
Yeah.
It all happened very kind of organically, really. I mean, he got cast in a role, I got cast in a role, and, you know, one day I was getting my wardrobe on, and Joel Schumacher, the director, said, oh my God, we've got such a great cast. He was on the phone bragging to somebody. I wasn't sure who, but, you know, he said, oh, we've got this great cast, and we've got, you know, Jason Patrick, and we've got, you know, Kiefer Sutherland, Diane Wiest, and, you know, the two Coreys. I said, what do you mean the two Coreys? What does that mean? He says, well, there's another Corey. His name is Corey Haim, and he's in the movie as well. And I was like, okay, who's this guy? You know, I had no idea. Except I had heard his name around a bit because a very dear friend of mine, Robin Lively, was dating him, it turned out. And so she would mention his name from time to time. And I would see his little, you know, picture in the teen magazines and stuff as kind of the new breakout star. And I didn't really know much about him. But then one day when I got home, I received a phone message on my answering machine, and it was him, you know, kind of introducing himself to me, like, hey, man, I guess we're going to be working on this movie together, so, you know, we should hang out and get to know each other a bit because I'm in L.A. So I called him back. We set up a kind of a meeting, and the rest is history.
And there's something to be said for liking somebody who shares your name. I mean, I've never met a Wendy I didn't like. You know, you got to be friends with somebody who shares your name.
That's it. And there were a lot more commonalities than just that. I mean, it was kind of eerie, really. But, you know, we were two kids, the same age, same name, both Jewish. You know, he had this gold chain around his neck that said 222, and I had one around mine that said 22, because we both had this thing with numerology where I always had 22 as my favorite number, which is why the album is called Angelic to the Core. Mm-hmm. And why it's a two-disc CD and why it came out on the 22nd. And, you know, there's all these kind of clues that go along with it. But remember, 222 is specifically, obviously, for him, because that was always his thing. So there was just all these weird coincidences that kind of, you know, went on and on and on and followed us throughout our life and career, quite oddly and quite unfortunately in some ways.
And tell everybody, which I think is so amazing, this whole double CD set is completely green, eco-friendly.
That's right, yes. I mean, you know, the greenest way, of course, to do it is to buy it digitally, which it is now available digitally on all carriers except iTunes, because iTunes is late in their delivery, so tisk tisk on them. But hopefully it'll be, you know, available later today or tomorrow or whatever. But it's certainly available on all other media, places like such as Google Play or Amazon or Spotify or Rhapsody. You know, there's kind of a long list of all the ones that have it, but unfortunately iTunes doesn't yet. But the point is that That's the greenest way to go. The other way to go is to buy the actual double CD. And you're right. It is made with eco-friendly environmental products such as recycled paper, soy ink, which is made of vegan ink, actually. So no animals are harmed in the making of it. And it's completely biodegradable so that, you know, not the discs, of course. The discs,
right.
They haven't figured out how to do those biodegradable yet. But you could take the actual CD packaging and throw it in the ocean if you don't like the album. And then you could use those discs as disc trays or, you know, frisbees or
coasters, holders, drink coasters.
You know, whatever. Coasters, exactly. You know, whatever you choose. Some people I've seen hang them as ornaments at Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully you'll like ours a little bit better.
Yeah.
Corey, we hear about the pitfalls of being a child actor, and I guess nobody knows it more than you. It's been a roller coaster ride, some very good times, some very bad times. If you had to do it all over again, would you have chosen show business over another way of life?
Probably not, because I didn't choose show business in the first place. It chose me.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 3 years old, you don't really make those choices. But, you know, I kind of talk about all that in my book, Choreography, which is basically the fact that I was brought into the whole game as a child slave, which is really what I was. I mean, you know, if there was such a thing as an open slave market in the U.S. in the 1980s, I was part of it, you know.
Yeah, but did you think of it as that at the time? Because you were kind of digging the attention and everything.
No, not really.
Really?
No, that's you know, the illusion that, you know, the media would create.
Yeah.
Just something that, you know, I was a part of, but unfortunately I wasn't. I mean, it was really more about the commercialism and, you know, putting it all together. And, you know, I mean, obviously I enjoyed my work. I enjoyed the attention. I enjoyed people being nice to me on the set, because they were a lot nicer on the set than they were at home. But I didn't have friends. I didn't have a childhood. I didn't get to do things like sleep over at friends' houses or, you know, go to camp or go, you know, camping or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, join baseball leagues. You know, the stuff that normal kids get to do, I didn't get to do it.
That's true.
And that's rough. You know, it's rough being a kid and trying to understand why you can't go play with the other kids when everybody else is just going to play.
Corey, when Wendy and I were kids, we're a little bit older than you, but there was an actor named Paul Peterson who was on the Donna Reed Show and also a recording artist.
Well.
You do. He started a group for child actors, kind of a support group. Is that still something that goes on?
Yes, it's still around. Unfortunately, Paul has gotten a bit older, and he's taken a back seat, and I think he's pretty much retired at this point from that group. I forget what they're called, but I think it's like adult actors or something like that. Adult child actors, something along those lines. But, I mean, it is a good organization, because they were always kind of trying to do the right thing and help with children's rights and that sort of thing. So there's been much debate over the last few years over who will take over in his place. And I don't know who they've appointed in that position yet, but I'm sure they're going to make a good choice, because he did great work.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need those voices out there. But I think even more nowadays, what, you know, the big concerns really are, you know, who's got access to those kids, and, you know, making sure that they don't get into the wrong hands. And even more so, you know, not just doing background checks and finding out what the people's history are when it comes to casting directors or, you know, managers or people like that, publicists. You know, those are the types of people that have the most access really to the kids on a regular basis, and you need to find out their backgrounds. But on top of it, you know, there's also statutes of limitations and things like that, which also need to be dealt with.
Absolutely. They have to be removed, because a lot of times people don't come forward because they don't think anyone's going to believe them. There shouldn't be a statute of limitation on things such
right.
as that.
Absolutely not. Now, I know that there is a bill being passed as we speak in California. I know they've made great strides with it. It's actually going up for a vote in the Senate. But the problem is, even with that new reform, even if it goes into place and it's supposed to take place in 2017, it's only for 2017 and onwards. So unfortunately, you know, if you're just getting in the business and you just start having the problems, then yes, fortunately, people now will be able to do something about it. But, you know, everybody prior to, you know, anything that happened today, anything that happens, you know, next month or, you know, in the next 6 months still won't be on the record and won't be available for prosecution. So that's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. Corey Feldman is our guest, actor, producer, musician. His new album, Angelic 2, The Core, comes out today. We'll talk more with Corey in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder, along with our guest Corey Feldman. Yes, that Corey Feldman, actor, producer, musician Corey Feldman. His new album, Angelic 2, The Core, comes out today. We're talking to Corey about his career. 80 films already, Corey. Does that knock you down when you hear that number?
It's actually over 100 at this point.
Wow.
So, you know, I know that some of the information on IMDb is not always correct. Sometimes people sneak in movies that aren't actually my titles, and then sometimes things get forgotten. So
still not as bad as Wikipedia, though.
That's for sure, yeah, because anybody has access to that thing. So it's like sometimes you'll go on there and you'll be like, what? What? That has nothing to do with me. What are they talking about?
So you did not play Stanley Kowalski in A Streetcar Named Desire. Am I getting that correctly?
You know what? You're right on. Right. And you can find other big major loopholes like that all throughout.
All right.
Yes.
Corey, I got to tell you, loved The Lost Boys, loved Stand By Me, loved The Goonies. I've really been a fan of yours for the longest time, but you know where you...
Oh, thank you.
You really, really made it for me on the cast of Surreal Life. I loved that show. You were such
a nice guy,
so genuine.
Oh, thank you. Well, at least you're like one person who got that from it. Cause I think for everybody else, they really tarnished me pretty badly on that show. Speaking of bad shows, there was another one that I did recently called Celebrity Wife Swap, which has been playing on Lifetime. And actually, they played it last night, which I was, you know, of course, so grateful that they had to remind people of that before my album came out. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of the reality show circuit. You know, the only reality show that I've ever been a part of that I think was worth watching was The Two Corys, which of course I was an executive producer on, and I was able to make sure that they didn't, you know, just sit there and beat us up the whole time. But you know, besides that, reality is really kind of a dirty business. You know, they like to make people look like something that they're not. They put on blinders to people's true personalities and things like that. So it's a very kind of risky thing to do, especially if you have a continuing career. It's great for people whose careers are over, not great for people who are planning on staying in the business.
Corey, I know this is a dark area to visit with you, but you've talked about it in the past. You talk about the pedophilia that goes on in Hollywood, and people would listen to you and they'd think, oh, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't happen, we're not sure. And then Elijah Wood, about a month or so ago, makes very similar claims about the fact that kids are mistreated sexually in Hollywood and that it's still going on today. What can you tell us about all this?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, like at the beginning of the interview, what I said before is pretty much how I feel. I mean, unfortunately, there's not enough laws in place to protect the children, and more needs to be done about it. And, you know, I think as opposed to going on a witch hunt and, you know, looking for names of people who you can't prosecute, the most important thing to be doing is to be, you know, changing the standards and changing the laws and making sure that there's better protection in place moving forward.
But aren't you tempted to name, I mean, these people have ruined lives in Hollywood. You're not tempted to say their names?
Oh, I didn't say I'm not tempted.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that, you know, there's no real point in it. What's it going to do? I mean, you go out there and you say these names and then what? You know, then everybody comes after me. Then they all want to sue me. Then I've got, you know, a hit on my head and stuff like that. And for what? You know, really.
But they're names we would recognize, aren't they?
Well, there's one, surely, that everybody would know, but the rest of them probably not. They're just normal guys that work their way into the industry. And, you know, I mean, one of them, you know, involves a very powerful person at a studio. But, you know, again, it's not names that people would know.
And these people have gone on to become very successful, I'm assuming, and can get a really great lawyer to, you know, get rid of what you're saying. So I guess what's the use?
Some of them surely have. Yeah, because what happens is then they go and they spin the media and they make me look like the bad guy and they tell everybody that I'm lying and what proof do I have and blah, 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 blah. And then where does it go?
Yeah.
you know, it just again makes me look bad and I become the scapegoat. And then in the end, they're going to come off shining anyway, because that's what they do in every situation. I mean, I've seen one of these people, you know, is constantly in trouble, you know, and you see how it happens in the courtroom. And, you know, it's like everything that gets thrown up in front of the judge just kind of gets blown away. Like, you know, they never get in trouble. It's almost like they've got some higher group that's protecting them, shall we say, because, you know, it's a trickle-down effect, as we all know.
Elijah Wood made some similar claims, and then a day or two later just kind of backtracked. Was
he
that
said
upsetting?
He was misquoted or something.
Well, he didn't say he was misquoted. He said that he was basing his information on a documentary, which is called An Open Secret, which I myself haven't seen, but I know they use clips from interviews and stuff in that film. But I didn't really have much to do with it, to be honest.
All right.
So I don't know too much. But anyway, you know, let's get back to the focus of today, which is the album, because that's a much more enlightening and positive thing to focus on. And there's something you can do about it, because if you like the music, you can go buy it today, because it is available as of today all over the world. And specifically, if you want a physical copy and you want to buy that, the copy that's, you know, got the great biodegradable stuff and also has a 16-page color booklet, it's a two-disc set. And that is available exclusively through our new website, which is called angelictothecord.com. So all you have to do is type in the name of the album with the number 2. .com, and you can buy your copy there.
Angelic, the number 2, the core, .com. Right?
You got it.
Excellent.
And it drops.
And I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you related to Tom Snyder? I just had to ask.
Me? No. God, I wish I was, but no, I wasn't.
Okay. You know, I used to do Tom's show a lot.
The Tomorrow Show?
Yeah.
Active. Well, that and when he did his radio show. You know, he had a radio show on KBC for quite a while.
That's right.
On Westwood One? Yeah.
Yeah, no relation.
Right. Well, too bad. I was going to tell you to say hello for him.
You know he's no longer with us.
He passed away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he died?
Yeah, he died about 6-7 years ago.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Well, you know, that wasn't really a big news story, I guess, but that's a shame. Cause
it did kind of get lost in the mix. I will agree.
Yeah. One of the best.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Hands down.
Unfortunately.
All right. And I want to talk to you about your love of animals. You're a vegetarian, and it's basically because you love animals. You don't do it for health reasons, right? You're big into PETA and all that?
Well, I don't work so much with PETA anymore these days. I have done stuff with them in the past, but now my focus is really, you know, smaller groups that need the attention, because PETA's so big, they've got everybody, right? They've got Paul McCartney and Pamela Anderson.
That's true.
So I figured, you know, I want to focus on the ones that need a little bit more help. But I work a lot with Humane Society, Farm Sanctuary. There's a great beagle rescue, which is called Project Beagle Freedom, and they go out and they rescue lab animals that have been tested on and have never seen, you know, grass and have never seen, you know, sunlight and things like that, because they've spent their entire lives in cages. So I do a lot of work with different animal groups, of course, and then, you know, I also work with children. I work with the environment. Anybody that needs a voice that doesn't have one of their own, I try to lend mine to.
And Snoop Dogg, too. You work with Snoop Dogg on the new record.
Well, that's right. On the record, we have a long list, actually, of speaking of dogs, right? We have a long list of great artists on this thing. I mean, there's Snoop Dogg, Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit, Kaya Jones from Pussycat Doll, Corrupts on the album, you know, B. Howard. I mean, it's just this crazy list. A couple guys from Pink Floyd, John Karen and Scotty Page, a couple guys from Black Eyed Peas, Poet, and some of the writers and producers from Black Eyed Peas. So, I mean, it's just a really great album made up of a lot of really great talent.
Well, Corey, congratulations.
Yeah.
It drops today at angelic2thecore.com. Such a pleasure to talk
to you. That's Corey Feldman. Corey, next time we're only going to talk about your work on Madam's Place. I love Madam's Place. All right, next time.
I can't wait for that.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Great to talk to you. Have a great week.
Great talking to you. Thank you so much, guys.
That's Corey Feldman.
Thanks, Corey.
Angelic2thecore.com. We'll take a quick break, find out what Rowan and Anna have next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.